Hey, hello and welcome. We're up to chapter 20 on Epiphany. This is the author, B.D. Harrell. We're about ready to get going on this day after the end of the World Series. I thought I'd better, I'm going to offer an opinion. You know how opinions can be. I am not unhappy that the Cubs actually won their game. They certainly deserved it, but having lived in Cleveland at one time of my life, I'm kind of disappointed for the Indians. But yeah, it is what it is. A great series, a great bunch of games. A little echoey here today. I'm in the middle of the move. We have most of the flotsam and jetsam that accumulate out of the way, but I still have a truck full of stuff that I need to be moving here in just a couple of minutes over to the new abode. We'll be coming from there next week. Anyway, we were kind of cliffhangered last week with Dan and Beasley going down the roadway, and somebody's out after them. But for chapter 20, we're heading back to the folks at Magnolia, and a good little conversation and some setup over here, so bear with me. There might be some extraneous noise. Again, the facilities in the new house, we didn't quite have everything there, so we have somebody taking a shower in the next room here, which is cool. Anyway, this is Epiphany, chapter 20. It had been a good lunch. For the better part of an hour, Emily's worries about Dan went away. She managed to drop by Community Drug to pick up a pregnancy kit for Chloe, stopping for a while to chat with the unsuspecting father. Her worries about her own husband came back when she was on the final block of her walk home. She saw Debbie Wallace swinging back and forth on the swing on the front porch. "Hey!" Debbie looked at it as if she had something weighing heavily on her mind, as much like the look Emily recalled when she had her first serious conversation with a college student. "I need your advice," the younger woman started. "I know that you're busy with Dan being out of town and under arrest and all, but I hope you can give me some advice." "Well, other than having three healthy meals a day and don't bet on horses," Emily joked, hoping to break the tension Debbie brought with her. "Well, actually, it's an affair of the heart," Debbie started. I met this guy. His name is Paul Prescott. He's a grad student, a poli-sci major who looks as if he came out of a catalog." "Good looking, I take it?" Emily asked. "Almost too good," she responded. "I find myself the object of envy whenever he takes me out." "Does he treat you well, and do you see him as the father of your children?" "Well, yes, and I don't know," Debbie sighed. "And there's my problem. He's coming here tomorrow to see me." "Do you have an idea why he's coming here?" Emily asked. "He's coming here to ask me to marry him," Debbie Wallace just blurted it out. "I want him to marry me. I want to be married to him," she continued. She then paused. "I think." "Sounds like there's some hesitation on your part," Emily commented. Debbie nodded her head. "Is part of it because of your miscarriage?" "Well, he tells me I'm his dream come true, yet he's also said that I'm that dream because of my innocence." Tabby gave a quick umph. "He doesn't know about you and Hank, does he?" Emily gasped. "No," she said, shaking her head. "I haven't told him. I don't know whether to or not. I want him to find out. I mean, what if he comes here and finds out from someone else? What then?" "It would be best if you told him yourself, Debbie. Relationships are built on trust. If you want him to trust you, you need to let him know about your miscarriage and the circumstances behind it. At some point, the truth will come out. The sooner, the better," Emily advised. But he might reject me," she pointed out. "Would that rejection be better now, or do you want to wait a couple of years into your marriage or after you have children? Do you want to even have children?" Debbie pouted for a moment. "Were you pure before you met Pastor Dan?" she asked. I'd be lying if I told you I'd not experienced a man before I met my husband, Emily confessed. I also told Dan about it the evening we met. Made no difference to him. In fact, he told me he'd slept with at least one woman before he met me. We concluded that we're only human. We have needs, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Well, I thought that you, the pastor's wife, I mean, the younger woman stammered. Emily gave a soft chuckle, then gave Debbie a hug. Hard to believe, isn't it? She smiled. It's like coming to the realization that your parents had to have sex in some time in order to have you. Well, my situation was a little different, if you recall. Hank took advantage of me in a moment of weakness, Debbie pointed out. And you haven't been with a man since, I suppose. No. She paused for a moment before she continued. And I'm not sure if I want to, even with Paul. Have you talked with him about how you feel? Emily asked. Well, not in so many words. You need to sit down and have a very long and meaningful conversation with this young man, Emily advised again. If he's coming to propose marriage and you have baggage, whether it's your miscarriage or your doubts about your sexuality, you need to discuss things with him before either of you makes a mistake you might regret. Debbie nodded her head slowly. She understood what her mentor told her. You may also want to talk with Hank, Emily suggested. I get the feeling that you still have issues with him. Well, not really. I mean, we talk on the phone on a regular basis, Debbie revealed. J-Bo at the Mental Health Center suggested it. In fact, we've been to couples therapy. Emily was dumbfounded. It took her at least 15 seconds to react. He raped you. He fathered your child. And I have forgiven him, Debbie interrupted. When you forgive someone who has hurt you, you take away their power. You should know that. Emily closed her eyes, took a deep breath, then told her protege she was right. Hank and I are on an equal footing now, you see, Debbie pointed out. There's still some scarring, that's why the therapy, but we've been working things out. Hank's really a good person now that I've gotten to know him. Could part of your anxiety about Paul be because of Hank? Emily probed. It was Debbie's turn to be dumbfounded. Are you saying I might be falling in love with Hank? She finally sputtered. It's not exactly that, Debbie. You've forgiven Hank, and both of you might well be on the way to putting what happened behind you, but at some point you'll have to let Paul in on that part of your life. And from what you're telling me, the sooner the better. I see, Debbie sighed. So what do I tell him and when? Well, you told me earlier that Paul's coming to town sometime tomorrow, right? Yes. Is he driving or taking the bus? Emily asked. He's taking the bus. He's on an internship at the State House this summer and has the day off. I told him to meet me here. Is that all right? I have a better idea, Emily responded. Meet him at the bus stop and take him into Zeke's for lunch. I understand that the bus usually stops southbound at around 1:30. I could arrange to have some people there to be standing by in case you need someone to fall back on. You'll keep out of sight unless I need you? Debbie asked. You'll know we're there. Unless your boyfriend somehow knows who's who in this town, he'll have no idea about who we are or what we're up to. After Debbie left, Emily called Hank Windham in at the lumberyard. It took nearly 5 minutes for someone to locate the man and get him to the telephone. Debbie Wallace was just here, Hank. Emily began. Your name came up, and I wanted to know just what is your relationship with her these days. She thought that his hesitation in answering her was the result of being anxious or shy about the answer. We're okay, he finally told her. We're at peace with what happened, and that's that. Why do you ask? He asked after a slight hesitation. That's all? Emily probed. Well, what did she tell you? She came here because of some fellow she believes will be here tomorrow to ask her to marry him. Your name came up. Emily could swear that she heard him swallow hard before he answered. She's been staying with me and Dad the past few days, Hank revealed. We talked, that's all. She said something about this fellow Paul who she's been seeing. Hank's voice dropped off as he were making a side comment. If you ask me, I don't think she's sold on the guy. Jabo seems to think the same thing. Emily smiled. Are you and Debbie talking things out with Jabo Hatfield these days? Well, yes, ma'am. It was your husband's idea, he continued. He got Debbie to forgive me about 3 years ago, about the same time she left to go to that school in Tennessee. I thought you knew. Well, he doesn't tell me everything, Emily told him. I did know that she forgave you. I didn't know that you and Debbie were talking things through with Jabo. Some conversations are confidential. Conversations you have with Jabo, for instance, or with a pastor or a lawyer. You can even talk to me in confidence. With Dan being gone, I'm the go-to person in our church. May not hold the title, but I take that charge just as seriously. I have a calling. Someday I'm going to be a pastor in my own right, she concluded, but only in her mind. Her talk with Debbie and her current conversation with Hank revealed that conclusion hidden in the back of her mind. She'd been a teacher. She was trained as a counselor, and since the move to Magnolia, she had the feeling that there was perhaps a higher calling she should answer. I don't think Paul's right for her, Hank stated flat out, and I don't think she wants to say yes, at least to him, at least for now. Well, I get that impression, too, when I spoke with her, Emily agreed. Would you be willing to do something to help her tomorrow? Well, what do you have in mind, he asked. Emily came up with a plan at the spur of the moment. Hank enthusiastically agreed to take part. They finished their conversation. After thinking things over for a few moments, Emily made a couple of other phone calls to plan for Paul Prescott's visit the next day. And that concludes chapter 20. Chapter 21, we're going to be going back up into Dolly Sods in West Virginia. Dan's heart is going to be starting again when he figures out who called him. And we'll see what happens with Dan and with Beasley up there on the mountaintop. In the meantime, that's about it. We'll be checking in again next Thursday at about this time. I appreciate all the support and the kind words that I've gotten from people that I know who are listening to this podcast and have on a regular basis. Until next time, be seeing you.